Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome an accomplished entrepreneur from Bangalore, India, Mr. Srikanth Acharya. Srikanth, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mr. Garg. It's an absolute privilege to be on your podcast.
Thank you. Srikanth is the Chief Executive Officer and founder of OffiNeeds.com, which is the leading Indian corporate gifting and custom merchandise company. So Srikanth, before we speak about OffiNeeds, tell me a little bit about your own background and what is the story behind founding OffiNeeds?
Yeah, so I come from a very typical middle-class working family kind of a background. I studied my engineering in a place called SIT Tumkur, which is 60 kilometers away from Bangalore. Got campus recruited into Infosys as a software engineer in 2004. And on April 1st, 2005, I played an April Fool's prank that literally changed my life. Mm-hmm. I told my colleagues and my friends that I'm going to be quitting and I'm going to starting a business. And that prank just turned into a reality. And a few months down the line, I resigned from Infosys and I started a corporate gifting business. Back then, it was called Gift Wrap, and we kind of changed the name over a period of time. And 18 years down, we are still doing reasonably good. So that's a little bit about the genesis.
Oh, amazing. And as they say, the rest is history, right? Fantastic. Congratulations on the amazing success and how so early on in life you took a decision to be an entrepreneur. Tell me, Srikanth, 2005, you started. What have been some of the challenges and learnings that you have faced in the early days, and how did you overcome them?
Actually, I feel, I was very, very lucky in the early days. Even the way I started off the business was pure stroke of luck. I can't attribute saying, you know, there was great strategy or great thinking behind it. Mm-hmm. And the initial days, back then in 2005, entrepreneurship and startup and these words were unheard of. It was considered absolutely insane for somebody to leave their job and start off a business. Right. And the way I started off acquiring initial customers was all my friends were working in different software companies. I said, hey, connect me to your HR and admin manager in your company. Mm-hmm. And I went and met them. And, you know, mobile was still not popular back then. Internet was still relatively new, it was there, but still fax machines were there, still around and stuff like that. And I met those HR managers and they just gave me business saying, this guy's quit Infosys and a cushy job and he's doing something. He must know something. That is the basis on it. So initial 1 or 2 or 3 years was like super easy. It was, every person I met gave us orders simply because of the credibility that I'd quit and they wanted to support. And somehow I felt they felt like I was doing something they would have liked to do. So they just wanted to support. So that worked well. But in 2008 onwards, the reality started to strike in. There was the, I think 2008 Lehman Brothers crash happened. Right. And there was a down, the market went down, corporate gifting was slowed down. And after that, by that time we had gotten into the grind of running entrepreneurship. We knew how to hustle and, you know, if one segment is struggling, there is another segment which is doing well. You know to get the pulse of the market. And after that, I think our story has been like any entrepreneurial story. It's never a straight line, right? It's plenty of ups and downs, plenty of roller coaster, right? So we've been through all of it, including the recent COVID situation, right? Right. So you learn to respond to any situation. That kind of comes with practice, I think. And that comes with learning to enjoy the adventure that entrepreneurship really is.
Wonderful. What a great response. Thank you. Srikanth, how do you differentiate OffiNeeds? My understanding of OffiNeeds was office needs. I'm assuming that's where the name came from. But how do you differentiate OffiNeeds from competitors in the corporate gifting and custom merchandise industry?
I think that's a great question, Ashutoshi, because corporate gifting is a very kind of run-of-the-mill, very competitive, very trader-driven kind of a business. But I'll take a minute to tell you a little bit about OffiNeeds. When we started off the company back in 2005, it was called Gift Wrap, the GIFTWRAPPED. And in 2012, 13, it looked like everybody was getting funded. Those were the days of Flipkart and Myntra and You know, those were the days where Bangalore started to be called as the Silicon Valley of India, and it looked like VC funding money was coming in, and I wanted to be a part of it too, and realized that, okay, corporate gifting, the brick and mortar business that it is, and it is really relationship driven, it is not a fundable business. So what is it that we can do to make it fundable? And that's where I decided, okay, I'm going to turn this into a B2B e-commerce platform that sells everything that offices need, from stationery, office supplies, pantry, housekeeping, all these kind of things. And that's where we switched to becoming orphaneeds.com. And we're like, okay, we will also have corporate gifting, but the mainstay is going to be the B2B e-commerce platform. It's a different story altogether. That entire line flopped big time. 2 to 3 years after trying, I realized we neither raised funds. We did not focus in the you know, drive to getting funded, lost focus on serving our customers, and almost ended up going bankrupt, and then got back to focusing on what I know best, which is corporate gifting. Retained the brand name though, because it had, you know, there's a .com domain, easier to pronounce, and we generated some amount of PR and things like that. So that's how orphaneeds.com happened. And what differentiated us actually after almost going bankrupt and then coming back on our feet, I decided that this time, you know, despite the setbacks that I had by not being able to raise funds, by losing a lot of customers, making a lot of losses, there's something very, very important that I learned, which was the power of technology. Although we did not get the kind of adoption that we really wanted, I dabbled a lot into technology, understood a lot about it. And in the B2B e-commerce space, you can say that, you know, there are not too many trends. There are not too many people who are doing B2B e-commerce. So I understood that and decided when we restarted orphaneeds.com journey, technology is going to be at the forefront. And even today, tech is what differentiates us. For example, we are on the verge right now as we speak of doing a beta launch of an end-to-end B2B e-commerce platform for corporate gifting, where you can discover products from 4,000 plus, a catalog of 4,000 plus products. We've designed a layer called Buzz, where you can upload your logos and customize your products and look at mockups right there. You can build your own boxes. You can build your own kits on the website, and you can decide where you want it to be. Do you want it to be home delivered? Do you want it to be delivered to office? Do you want stock and ship to be done? So pretty much everything that happens offline, we're putting an effort to bring it online. We also run brand stores for some of our clients. We run white label e-commerce websites for some large organizations like Infosys, for Lenovo, for Bosch, for Flipkart, for Byju's, and so many other companies, which are exclusive white label e-commerce websites where their employees can buy their merchandise, or their managers can give out points on this platform to their employees and so on. So technology and logistics and the automation of operations to a large extent has been our differentiator. And I think that is what is going to drive growth for the next 4 to 5 years.
Incredible, incredible. And tell me a little bit about some of the innovative or unique products that you have as a part of the corporate gifting program.
Yeah. So we've got a very, very, so that we, let's talk about this two ways, right? One is we call it as merchandise. Merchandise are what you refer to as products. It could be t-shirts, jackets, backpacks, speakers, all of these kind of things. So there we are constantly doing research. There's a lot of research that's always happening, where we have a team which is focused on catalog management, on identifying new categories, new products, and new brands that are coming into the market that will fit well into the gifting segment. So while doing this we come across a lot of interesting brands, and I think the biggest trend that is there right now is sustainable products. So there is a lot of demand for products that are made from recycled plastics or recycled fabrics. So there is a lot of interest in canvas and vegan leather products. There is a lot of interest in in recycled cotton. So there are t-shirts which we're making from recycled plastics, which is basically crushed plastic, which is recycled, and polyester t-shirts which are made 100% from that. And there's also t-shirts which you're making from 100% recycled cotton yarns as well. So sustainability, I think, is the key, and there's plenty of products. There is also cups which we are making, which are made from coffee husk and wheat husk and those kind of things, which are alternatives to ceramics or plastics or anything like that. And then this, there is a huge demand for, and this is a category which we are very, very bullish about.
Amazing. And since you spoke of sustainability, tell me a little bit more, because I know that the Gen Z and the millennials are very conscious about sustainable products. Yeah. What are some of the sustainable products that you're working on? You did tell me about cups, for example.
Yeah. See, we actually, this is a topic that I'm very, very passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I want to take a minute to tell you about why sustainability is very, very important and why as a corporate gifting organization, we have the opportunity to make massive impact. Correct. Right. So pre-pandemic, corporate gifting was about giving gifts to employees in the offices that they are. Right. So it was all right. Like your customer orders 1,000 backpacks or 1,000 t-shirts or whatever it is, and you deliver it in bulk to their office and it gets distributed to the employees and they take it home. Mm-hmm. But with the pandemic, what became extremely important is home delivery. Now we've, just to give you some context, in the last 3 years, we've done close to, I think, between 4 to 5 lakh home deliveries we have done directly to employees. So the initial one year or so, we just sent in whatever we could, right? Mm-hmm. And I realized that, you know, there is so much plastic that is going into the packaging, mm-hmm. right? There's every courier envelope, every package that goes in, there's at least 100, 150 grams of plastic, which is not easy to avoid, which is very much necessary, but it's going into the dump yard and it's a serious challenge which is there, right? So we thought what we could do, we did a lot of research actually, because this is alternatives to plastic packaging is a relatively new industry. There are minimum order quantities that are larger, and you cannot stock the material for too long. They start composting, right? When you hold the packaging. So there are plenty of challenges. We overcame those challenges, and since the last 1 year or so, we've been sending all goods with 100% eco-friendly packaging to employees' homes. Mm. So we replaced plastic tapes with paper tapes. We replaced plastic bubble wraps with corrugated bubble wrap alternatives, right. And courier envelopes, plastic replaced by paper envelopes and all of those kind of things. Sustainability has a lot of angles, right? So I feel, for example, if we are able to convince people to carry their own water bottles instead of buying plastic water bottles, that I think is a very, very big change, right? So as an organization, we are very conscious about this, and we are slowly switching from petrol vehicles for delivery to electric vehicles for our own deliveries. Mm-hmm. We have done operational aggregation. That means all our operations customization happens under one single roof. So the amount of travel somebody does moving goods from A to B and then to C and assembly, mm-hmm. we've reduced it drastically. When we as an organization have an event, right, we make sure that we don't use plastic bottles. We don't serve in paper cups. That's a policy which we have. It takes that extra effort. And as an organization, we have the opportunity to make this impact to our customers through products as well as packaging, which is eco-friendly in nature, and through messaging, which reminds them to be more sustainable, to our employees itself, because we are a team of about 120 people. So when we do events, we educate them that this is how they should also be living their lifestyle, even though it takes extra effort and it takes extra cost to get there. And we collaborate with a lot of influencers. Gifting is our business, right? So we send out gifts to a lot of people, and those gifts, we make sure they're sustainable in nature. So amazing. I'd like to believe we are playing a small part in making sustainable lifestyle the right way to go.
Amazing. And my next question is that, every customer is unique. And you mentioned that, you're setting your beta testing your website where there could be 4,000 products.
Yes.
How do you tailor your offerings to suit specific requirements of each company?
I think that's a brilliant question again, Ashutoshji. You hit the nail on the head. Gifting is a very, very unique business, because the uniqueness itself is the key to the business, right? Nobody wants to give the same gift again and things like that. It's a complex problem to solve, because anything can be a gift, right? Who says this is what a gift is? Who says water bottle or a t-shirt should be a gift? You can give a bike as a gift. You can give a home as a gift. You can give a holiday as a gift. You can give pretty much anything you want as a gift. So the way we are addressing it is we believe we are, and the market is so vast, right? Who doesn't need gifting? If you're doing a housewarming ceremony, you need gifts. If you have a college alumni meet, you need a gift. If you're doing a dealer's meet, you need a gift. If you're doing anything, you need a gift. But we said, okay, we are going to focus on solving one problem, which is helping organizations to improve employer branding and employee engagement through corporate gifting. So that means we narrowed down our focus to serve HR professionals and business leaders in the context of gifting to employees. So then we know what is it that they want. They want, this is the kind of gift, this is the kind of product, this is the purpose, this is the kind of budget, and this is the kind of experience that they want to give to their employees. And we kind of know what is the mindset that employees have, what is the demographic that the employees have, you know, what lifestyle they're living and all of that kind of stuff. So when you narrow down your audience and say, this is what I'm doing, and in more than just selling the product, this is the problem that I'm really addressing, is how we are able to, you know, kind of solve that product. Otherwise, if you think about it, every single product that you see on Amazon, which is apparently like a crore products or 4 crore products or whatever, is gift worthy, right? So how do you narrow it down to just 4,000 SKUs? 4,000 is still a very big number, but you have to narrow that down. And the way to do that is by knowing exactly who your customer is and serving that particular intent. So majority of our 99% of our customers are HR professionals and business leaders who want to gift to their employees, new joining gifts. And how do they engage their employees on work anniversaries? You know, when employees are terminating, how can they use gifts to be able to, how those events can be made more meaningful through gifts. That is what we do. So we are not so much into pharma gifting, not so much into FMCG gifting, not so much into dealer gifting, not so much into colleges. So by saying no to a large market segment, right, we've been able to kind of focus on exactly what it is that we want to be able to offer.
Fascinating. Great response. But there's another thing that I've often wondered, you know, and over the years, one has received lots and lots and lots of gifts. One has given a lot of gifts as a company. I've often wondered, why is it that the name and the logo of the company is so prominently displayed, especially when it's to non-employees? Because I've said that the person who receives the gift needs to know where it has come from. But if the logo is displayed so loudly and prominently, that gift will never be get used. Because nobody wants to say, I got something as a gift.
Yeah, that is true.
What is your perspective? That is true.
No, you're spot on, right? You're absolutely true about that. When it is, especially when it is given to delegates and when it is given to customers and things like that, having a logo prominently is not the most ideal thing. And that is something which it can be done maybe subtly in a small way, maybe on the greeting card and things like that. And that is something which we educate our customers also, where we tell them, I mean, typically people who are giving out gifts for the first time, they want their logo big and prominent. And we tell them, see, larger your logo, the more promotional it is going to be. Correct. If you want it to be more premium, make your logo more subtle and smaller and maybe in the side or something like that. That's how it is. The larger the logo, the lesser the shelf life of that particular product is going to be. But again, it depends on what is the intent and what is the event and who is the recipient. And it is ultimately for the customer to choose what they want. You know, so it's our job is to give whatever it is that the customers want.
Well said. Well said. Srikanth, I have time for a few more questions. My next question is, what role does technology play in your operations? And how do you use technology to enhance customer experience?
Great point. I am an absolute tech geek. Okay, something I realized long back, and technology is expensive. Okay, let's admit that it's the toughest thing to hire tech talent that there is, and it's very difficult for MSMEs, non-funded companies, to be able to adopt technology really well. But we've been like very laser focused that we want to build around technology. We know that is the moat which is going to help us scale to the next level. Like I said, there are multiple everything that we do, we think of can tech do that. I'll give you an example, okay? And how we actually responded to the post-COVID. The first wave of COVID, when it happened, nobody wanted gifts. Gifts is the last thing on anybody's mind that is there, right? But after, 4, 5, 6 months of COVID, after everybody making peace that, look, COVID is here to stay, we are going to be working from home. And now we need to figure out how do we engage with employees while they're still working from home, right? And there was a large, now events, annual days happen, and all these events started happening virtually. Now, how do you send these gifts to individuals? So we created a product called Gift Card. Okay. Mm-hmm. What we did is we told our customers, now you don't know what is the, at least when employees are coming to the office, you kind of have a feel what's going on in their mind, and you can kind of say, we'll give this gift. And even if you give the same gift to 1,000 people, there is no way that all 1,000 people are going to like it, no matter what it is that you do. So let's do one thing. Let's build a microsite, and instead of giving one product to everybody, you shortlist 5 gifts, and we'll build a microsite. Let the employees choose what it is that they want, and we'll ship it directly to the employees, and we'll give you a beautiful tracking dashboard. You know how many people ordered what and the status of tracking delivery. This is through API integration with the courier partners and all of that kind of stuff. From a customer facing point of view, it looks like a very simple microsite. From an execution point of view, it's slightly more complex, but we accomplished that, and the results were insane. You'll not believe it. 3,000, 4,000, 10,000, 15,000 employees when they place an order. And when we collect their feedback, the average feedback that we get is 4.95 on 5 stars, right? Now, nobody has ever seen 4.95 stars when you collect feedback from thousands of people, right? So that was revolutionary, and customers really loved it. And in the last 2-3 years, every occasion from Diwali to New Year to everything, we've been building these microsites, and massive success. So tech in the form of how you can serve your customers better, tech in the form of how you can operate better. For example, we have what we call as a state-of-the-art operation center, and everything is managed as a project management. Now, this is a little difficult because the people working on the shop floor are typically not tech savvy or tech friendly as such. So it took us almost more than a year to be able to fully adapt to project management. So every order would be broken down into milestones. Each milestone has multiple task lists, and each task list has multiple tasks, and each task is assigned to an individual. So if there's a delivery boy, he gets a notification on his app saying, pick up the goods from here and drop it here. That's all he knows. He knows that is the bit that he has to do. And we've been able to implement this, and through this, we are able to manage hundreds of large orders, complex orders, very, very time-bound in a scalable manner, because we know that we don't have to look at whether each order is on track, because it's very easy for an order to go off track, and all our orders are very, very urgent, right? So everybody wants it yesterday, right? So if we see that all the tasks are on track, then the entire order is on track. So we don't worry about orders anymore. We worry about every task. If a task is delayed or there's a problem there, we fix it, then we are able to get back on track faster. So tech has played a very, very big role, not just in the form of software, but even in the form of the infrastructure, which is there. We are probably the only corporate gifting company in India to have UV printing, to have laser engraving, to have embroidery, DTF printing, sublimation printing, pad printing, all these customization techniques under one single roof. If you're ever in Bangalore, you should visit us.
I would love to. And my last question, Srikanthan, this is for the thousands of people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own amazing journey as an entrepreneur, and you started, so early in life in 2005, what would you say are 3 lessons you would want a lot of our viewers and listeners to take away, especially if they're aspiring entrepreneurs?
That's a great question. And I think a great way to end this show as well. I would say one is, keep in mind that businesses are about solving problems. Businesses are not about selling this or selling that. Businesses are about solving problems. So if you're able to identify problems worth solving, then you're in business. The second thing that I would say is, once you identified, problems worth solving, be clear about who has that problem, who is willing to pay. It's a typical thing to feel that, hey, I'm in this business, the entire world is my customer. It's easy to say India is a 1.3 billion population, my market is very large. But be realistic, identify exactly which is the customer you can serve. Be more, draw your ideal customer profile as clearly as possible. Be realistic about it, and focus on that, on serving that customer. And once you identify the problem, and once you know who has this problem, the next rest of it is relatively easy, right? So that's my 2 cents. And the last thing which I want to say is, don't become an entrepreneur for the glitz and the glam. Entrepreneurship is probably one of the toughest things there is to do that there is, and join if you love. Don't think I will be my own boss. Believe me, you're not going to be your own boss. There are going to be more bosses that you're going to have. Don't join because you're going to have a lot of free time. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are going to, but these are all the wrong reasons to become an entrepreneur. The right reason would be if you love the journey, if you love the adventure, if you love taking on that responsibility of creating jobs for tens, even one or two people, if you're creating jobs, right? I feel that's a great service that you're really doing. So these are my tips. One is solve problems, know who is willing to pay for those problems to be solved, and three, become an entrepreneur for the right reasons.
Well said. And on that note, and your three wonderful lessons, businesses are about solving problems, and therefore try and figure out what the problem is that you're going to solve. Once you've identified the problem, find out who your customer is and who's willing to pay for it. And third one, which is such wise words indeed, which is the toughest thing in the world is to be an entrepreneur. And I've been an entrepreneur twice. Decide wisely. Go in it for the journey. Go in it for the adventure. And not because you think that it's wonderful to be your own boss. Thank you, Srikanth, for talking to me about your journey, about Offie Needs. Thank you also for educating me, and I'm sure a lot of our viewers and listeners, on so many different aspects of corporate gifting. Thank you again for speaking to me, and good luck.
Thank you so much. It's been amazing being here, and kudos to you for the awesome work you're doing, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.